Phil Hendry.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here at the El Pacifico, where the weather is getting. I don't want to rub it in. I don't think I'm rubbing it in, but I mean the weather's been sweet, huh, bud?
Yeah, went out today, man. It looked sweet.
Yes, it did, and there was beautiful surf out there. The Pacific Coast. This particular time of year, of course, is the water is not warming up just yet, but the Santa Ana winds kick in, so we start to get some warmer air temperatures, and it's still kind of wintry surf conditions, so you see a lot of people out there trying to take advantage of that. But the air was clear, it was really gorgeous, and like I say, you know, we haven't had a lot of rain, you know.
Well, you worry about the fires, and Dave, not Dave Cullen, that was the little fat boy. Who was the one, bud?
Dave Del Wagon.
Dave Del Wagon, a young man, do you remember him?
Yeah, Dave Del Wagon worked on the show before you did, bud.
Yeah, well, Dave lives in the Malibu Canyon now and has a, what is it, bud?
Like a cabin. He has a cabin there with Toby Bo.
Yeah, they have a cabin up there, and I spoke with Dave and Jeff Dowder earlier today via the telephone, and I thought you would be interested in the conversation we had. And I asked them, I said, well, what do you think you'll do, Woo? Okay, is this the tape? Hold on. I said, what do you think you'll do if the fires increase or if there are fires this coming summer? And here's part of that conversation. So you are, Dave and Jeff, you share a home there, don't you?
Yeah, we share, Toby and I, and Dave, you want to talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave's been up here, his parents had it.
What I did.
Yeah, Dave's parents had a home up here, and that's where we're living right now.
What is the home, Jeff?
It's like a caretaker's cottage, right, Dave?
Yeah. Bannon.
Yeah, he's, as you know, he has a learning disability that he's had ever since he rolled a Jeep over here at, you remember where he rolled a Jeep in Decker, right, Dave?
That's not a learning disability, that's...
Well, yeah, it is, it's an injury, but I mean, it is a learning disability, though, right, Dave? It's a learning disability because it's tough for him to learn, but it did come about from a Jeep getting rolled on him, on top of him.
Oh, my God. So, but he's fine.
Yeah, you're fine, Dave, right?
Okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
Now, let me ask you, if the fires are coming up the canyon...
Yeah, well, the wind gets whipped up the canyon in the summertime, Ms. Gray, and if for whatever reason there is a threat of fire... Dave's dad, I called up Dave's dad, Bernie Del Wagon, who's a grocer supply guy in Malibu, and I asked him, and he said at that time that the best thing to do would go ahead and set fire to the house and burn it down.
Why would he do that?
Because they'd rather burn their own home down than have a fire whip up the canyon and do it, because if the fire comes whipping up the canyon... And you stand there in a hopeless, you know, you're hopeless as the L.A. Times is taking pictures of you looking like, for all the world, like the biggest, right, Dave?
Yeah, game.
You're looking for all the world like just some hopeless turd, I mean, you know, standing there with a garden hose. And so Dave's dad, Mr. Del Wagon, said, Jeff, you know, it's going to be your call. And I said, well, how about if I just go ahead and burn it? And he said, yeah, pull it. He used the words, too.
Now, pull it. That's what was said at 9/11.
Yeah, yeah. See? So it does also point to 9/11, too.
That is very interesting. Well, I thank you for... So you're going to burn the home down before any fire can?
That's kind of what we're going to do. Well, but you'll know. I'll go pull it.
Yes. So that was the interview today with Dave Del Wagon. He wasn't that bad, was he?
No, Dave was bad, but he wasn't like that.
What was wrong with him?
He rolled a Jeep, I told you. You guys...
Why do you hire people like that?
I don't know. Everybody that I've ever hired, every intern that I've ever hired from this area, either has rolled a Jeep, has put a motorcycle through a tree. All of you guys are madmen. But Dave wasn't that bad. Dave knew how to talk. Sounds to me like he can't even talk.
Yeah, he's got a learning disability.
They got a learning disability, man. He rolled a Jeep.
Well,
it's not a learning disability. He rolled a freaking Jeep on himself. That's what happened to him. So these guys are going to burn the house down, huh?
That's what they say, and they're going to... And this whole thing about pull it, what do you think?
What do I think about what?
Well, there is that 9/11 connection.
Yeah, when they said pull it.
Let me ask you a question before we go any further. What does Jeff Dowder, in the year 2013, ready to burn someone's house down, saying the words pull it, what has that got to do with 2001 in New York with a building falling down?
I'm saying, Phil, the terminology is similar. Is there a connection?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah, bud? You're sitting there just...
I'm wondering.
There is no connection. How can there be a connection?
You don't have to yell. Why is everything with you at the top of your lungs?
I can't believe some of the conversation. There's no connection. Pull it here now.
I'll tell you about pulling, man. Somebody's pulling all right.
Yeah, you're pulling it.
Hey! There is no connection. It's Jeff Dowder being a big shot saying pull it because he heard some guy say it at 9/11.
Well, anyway, I'm going to keep my eye on that because I think it's a very fascinating story. And we will be following this throughout the summer, Phil, as the three of these men, Toby Bowe, who you did not hear, Dave Delwagen and Jeff Dowder, living there in Decker Canyon near the Malibu Canyon areas where the wind whips up the canyon. And now you know where the great songs that were given to us by the great songwriters, Lorenzo Hart and Morgan, I forget his name, he was another man. You remember the song, Where the Wind Whips Up the Canyon? You know that song?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, I think I know him as great.
I'm not asking you, bud, because you're making... No, you don't. You don't remember that song.
No, I don't.
Because it ties in beautifully. Phil, come on.
No, I don't. What song, Wind Whips Up the Canyon?
Now, wait a minute. I think I know. You're talking about,
You don't know. I'm sure talking about the song.
I know more than you. Are you talking about Battle Wagon?
Battle Wagon, that was it, yeah. And in that play...
But what do you mean, Paint Your Wagon?
Well, what was Battle Wagon?
The War Wagon.
War Wagon, yeah.
War Wagon was a war movie with John Wayne. Battle Wagon, I've never heard of. And Paint Your Wagon, I have.
Well, don't... Is that crude? Because you gave me a look.
Is what crude?
Talk about Paint Your Wagon. When you said Paint Your Wagon, you're all like, hey, look at...
I didn't check anybody. I'm going to... You know what? I'm going to throw all of you people out of here if I hear that one more time.
I'm sorry, Phil. I just...
I've been looking you up and down. Hey, Paint Your Wagon?
It looks and sounds... By the way, one other thing. Louis Anderson, is he now officially a large storage unit? Or is he still a man?
That's very, very unkind.
Oh, well, excuse me. He's standing there with that beautiful Catherine Webb with his arm around her.
Never mind about Louis Anderson right now. We're talking about whether or not this fire is going to take place. Now, what is this about Wind Whips Up the Canyon?
That's about the song.
The wind whips up the canyon. You don't remember that? They used it for a toilet paper commercial.
I don't know what she's talking about.
You're looking at the wrong guy to talk about me.
Well, get my husband on the phone then.
Don't direct people. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll talk about Catherine Webb, who has withdrawn from the ABC reality diving show Splash. It was her dream, to be a reality show star, and it will not be. Isn't that...
Who cares?
Don't be cruel. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Louis Anderson is our bitch.
The Phil Henry Show.
How dare you say such... Louis, darling, is there a man left, or is it just... Is that all just muffin?
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is Our Bitch, and that's the name of our big one-man show, our live show. Truth is Our Bitch, coming this summer, along with so many other things that I can barely contain myself with the glee and the joy. What am I listening to here? That sounds like a laboratory.
Yes, where's that?
Downstairs.
Turn that off, will you, man? Is that downstairs?
Yeah, it's a bar.
The bar downstairs, it just never... We have Frank Gray, who's joining us, and the whole reason why Frank is on the air here is why.
Frank will back me up on the story that I told you having to do with The burning down of... Now I forget. I don't know why we have him on.
Look, at we got to stop doing this. Frank, you there? Frank.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, man?
I'm better than Custer. How are you, young man?
Good, good. Margaret wants to talk to you.
Yeah, that's what I figured. What's up?
Well, Frank, I called you for a reason I forgot.
No, I got to tell you, and he told me this already, Phil. I got to tell you, people, you always call up people that, and you don't know why you want to talk to them. This is not the first time that he's called and said, oh, Frank, you really got to get it together.
I don't know what it was. I will tell you what we were talking about, the fires in Malibu Canyon, and the fact that there are three guys in a house there who are going to burn the house down ahead of the fires because they don't want to stand there looking like asses with a garden hose trying to save a house. They might as well just burn it themselves and look like they're in control.
Sure, sure. That sounds. I would do the same thing. And I can tell you, we have a beautiful home here in Santa Monica. We're far away from any fire area. I talked to the fire marshal as recently as last month. She came out. She's a former paratrooper with the Army, and she'd been in Iraq and Afghanistan and sustained. And then she came home and married her college sweetheart. And he had two babies right away. As soon as she came back, you know, she wanted to be a father. And so he gave her two babies. Her name is, I think her name is Bob Jandel. I know that.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I wanted to move on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
This was the fireman that you met who was in Iraq?
Yeah, she'd been in Iraq, and then she got married when she came back. And her wife... I forget his name. Oh, his name is Grace. Grace had two babies, so they didn't waste any time. I'll tell you that right now. It's almost like, do you think there's going to be a baby boom? I think there's going to be a baby boom with all of the things that are...
Well, there's not that many, relatively speaking, not that many people in the service, so there's not that much... there hasn't been that many people separated by war, although... we've had we've been holding steady, I think, population-wise, haven't we? So, in fact, this last generation, I don't know, to answer your question.
Yeah, well, that's the smartest thing you've said, because I listened to you trying to bail that whole thing out. No,
Well, I'm sorry, you asked me a question I don't have any expertise on.
Well, I think that there will be a baby boom, but what has that got to do with what we're talking about?
Well, I might as well talk about something, because you brought me on to talk about something, and you can't remember what one day to the next where you put your hairnet.
That's unfair, Frank.
No, it's not unfair, not at all. You can't remember from one day to the next where you put the Mother Goose shoe.
And that also is unnecessary.
What's the Mother Goose shoe?
Oh, the Mother Goose shoe. You didn't hear about it. Margaret's sister came out, and Margaret's sister had been in an automobile accident, and he's a beautiful, beautiful woman. I mean, have you met Margaret's sister?
Have you met Mary?
No, I have not.
Mary is his name, and he's a beautiful woman. But apparently he'd been in an accident. Margaret, you tell the story.
My sister was in an automobile accident right out of high school. She has a slight sprain in the sacroiliac, which sometimes, literally, one of her legs is shorter than the other, generally the left leg. And it causes her some pain. So Frank calls it the Mother Goose shoe because we went out and got her just a straight orthopedic shoe that she can wear around the house to help straighten the hip out.
Well, to tell the truth, though, he wears this Mother Goose shoe.
Mother Goose?
I'm sorry, Mother Goose shoe.
What is a Mother Goose shoe?
You've never heard of Mother Goose?
Yes, I've heard of Mother Goose.
Well, did you see the shoe that he wore?
Well, Frank, Mother Goose didn't wear the shoe.
What do you mean, Mother Goose? Where's the shoe that Mother Goose wore?
Are you talking about the old lady in the shoe?
He's talking about the old-style lace-up shoe that the old ladies wore.
The old ladies of my generation. My grandmother, he wore Mother Goose until the cows came home. But he wore Mother Goose till the goose came home, you know.
Well, whatever, Frank.
Well, I'm telling the story, if you don't mind. So... my grandmother, he wore them. My mother, thank God, and I thank God every day that my mother didn't wear them, because if he'd worn them, I would have been traumatized, I think, seeing my mother wearing the Mother Goose.
I don't understand anything you guys are saying. I really don't.
Well, it's no wonder, Frank. You're scaring everyone.
What am I doing?
It's not so much that you're scared. You're talking about the Mother Goose shoe. I think we're going on and on about it.
You're telling me you've never seen the Mother Goose shoe?
Yes, I've seen the Mother Goose shoe.
All right. And who wore it?
I remember my aunt wore them. And my aunt, when I was a very young kid, I mean, I was a little kid, my aunt was already in her 50s. And these shoes, folks, just so you know, at one time they were stylish. They were almost like a wingtip for women, except they had these big heels on them. They were lace-up. And they became identified, by the time I was a kid, they became identified with old women because it was a fashion in the 20s and then in the turn of the century, and just nobody wears them anymore.
Well, you see a lot of the young girls sometimes affect similar to the Mother Goose. We've got an intern in the law office, and he's about 18, very beautiful girl, and he's always wearing a Mother Goose styling, you know.
Well, but they don't call it Mother Goose. They call it something else.
Well, what is that they call? Okay, they call it Father Goose.
Well, they probably call it. It's probably a completely different style, too.
No, it's the lace-up Mother Goose. In any event, can I finish the story that I was that they want to say?
Go ahead.
All right. So Margaret's sister, Mary, he comes out with the, and I found this Mother Goose shoe, and I said, well, will you look at the old Mother Goose? And that's when he came up to me, and he smacked me across the face with the left hand, then came across my face with the right hand, and in one of the most stunning moves...
Frank, this is not a boxing match.
Will you hold on and let me tell the story, for God loving... I swear, there was every angel in heaven...
All right, just calm down.
I'm telling the story of what your sister did to me. This guy, he came across my kisser with the right, then the left, and then right out of and I couldn't believe my eyes. I even said to Margaret, I said, did he just do a Three Stooges move on me? And what did you say, Margaret?
I said you deserved it.
I deserve it. And then he did a Three Stooges number, Phil. He used both hands across one another on both sides of my face. And then did that whole thing with the hand where they... Remember Mo, she used to go nya-nya-nya-nya-nya with the hand?
You've got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And that was humiliating for me to follow the hand up and down and then smack. And so I said to Margaret, I said, I don't want him in the house. I know he's your sister, but I don't want him. Tell him and his Mother Goose shoe to hike it.
Go ahead, Frank.
I'm a little bit ashamed.
No, well, you're going to have to say it.
I said, tell him and his Mother Goose shoe to hike it down to the Super 8.
Well, did he? I mean, did she?
She? Who's she?
I don't know. Who would she be?
My son?
Yeah.
No, my son stayed here, but he, meaning my sister-in-law, I said, I'll give you a ride if you want, and nope. He was too proud, and I can still see him limping, you know, with the Mother Goose shoe off.
Don't you think that's cruel?
I can't believe you did that, Frank. You made that woman walk down to that Super 8.
I didn't kick him out. I said, you just humiliated me with a Mo Howard move with the whole and he's sitting there going, ha, 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 ha. And I said, why don't you take that Mother Goose shoe and park it? And that's when he said, I'm going down to the Super 8 even if I've got to thumb it. So the last I saw of him, I'm sorry.
Oh, starting to get emotional.
Yes. The last I saw of him, he had his thumb out on Lincoln, and he was thumbing down to the Super 8. And then he didn't get a ride, and he just kept walking, limping. I should say limping, but, you know, one leg shorter than the other, going to do it like that, you see. So.
Well, I think that's about the cruelest story I've ever heard.
Give me a break. I didn't throw anybody out.
Well, you might as well have, Frank.
Well, then why did he slap me the way he did? No woman slaps a man like that. And yet he slapped me.
Well, no man is supposed to slap a woman. No man's supposed to abuse a woman or mistreat a woman.
I didn't mistreat him. All I said to him, I said, if that's the way it's going to be, take your Mother Goose shoe, shove it, and it'll probably be uncomfortable with it up there, and I imagine you'll do one hell of a limp down Lincoln. And that's when he said to me, I'm going to thumb it. Thank you very much.
Did he get a ride?
I don't know. I saw a couple of trucks passing by.
Get out of here.
Wait a minute, Phil. You can't get tough with me.
We'll be right back, folks. Phil Henry Show.
Isn't that an amazing story, though?
I don't believe any of it.
What do you mean you don't believe? I saw it happen, Phil.
on a Mother Goose shoe and everything?
Yes.
I call that the story of the Mother Goose shoe. What do you think? I was going to send it into Reader's Digest, but I don't know.
Phil Hendry. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
And I think it's tasteless. Excuse me. No, it's not, and I wasn't doing that.
You're looking at the woman.
Anyway, welcome back, folks. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What do you mean I'm looking at her?
You mentioned that this Rosemary Church... Well, do you want me to do it here?
Not really.
You talk about a Rosemary Church.
I mentioned she was attractive.
Well, you're staring at the screen like this, Phil. Here, this is the face you're doing. Like there... I swear to God, I can't even do the face. You look like Dwight Fry in... Everyone makes fun of the Dwight Fry in Dracula.
What are you talking about, Dracula?
Are you talking about Dracula? Is that the French?
Are you talking about me? Yes.
Dwight Fry in Dracula and what?
When he was coming out of the bilge.
I don't know. I was staring up at her.
You did say that you think she's attractive.
Yeah, so what? So why do you got to point out the fact that I'm staring at her like I'm some guy right out of a loony bin or something? God.
Speaking of that, you want to talk about Ogle Paul Hatton?
Ogle Paul Hatton. No, that was Herb Sewell is going to join us here, folks, for Memories Are Made of This, which is a Herb Sewell column that he is writing. He is hoping for national syndication. Memories Are Made of This is his rundown of some of the interesting individuals that he met when he was at Atascadero, the state hospital, the state forensic hospital for... Quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, as they were once called, the criminally insane. And Herb Sewell is going to be joining us to talk about this forthcoming book.
Now, has it found a publisher?
I think it's found a publisher, a very small one.
That's self-published.
No, it's not self-published. I believe that it is a it has found a small publisher. And the title of the book is one that I think he's going to have a problem with, because Memories Are Made of This is a line from a love song.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I don't know if the people who own the copyright to that song are going to like the line from their love song being used as the title to a book written by a former psychiatric hospital patient.
Why are you laughing?
Well, what do you think, man? Don't you think that's funny?
No, don't jump on me. I'm just asking you.
I think it's funny. Family awarded $90 million. Family of teen hit by car given $90 million. A family in Maryland is feeling a small sense of justice and relief, according to a report from the Associated Press on Wednesday, April 17th. The family was awarded $90 million by a Prince George County jury for the life of their 13-year-old daughter that they lost. Good God. Ashley Davis was 13 years old when she was struck by a car while trying to cross the street and get to her bus. Davis did not make it back from her injuries, and she ended up passing away. The family of Davis sued the Prince George's County Board of Education after the child's death. John Costello, the Davis family's attorney, put up arguments that it was an issue of safety not properly being in place. He said that the school system did not provide safe, adequate transportation for the students in the area. A six-member jury decided early in April on the wrongful death verdict. On Wednesday morning, the family was officially awarded $90 million in the case. Costello is sure that the school system will appeal the decision. $90 million, yeah.
Well, I agree. I think that they should have safe bus stops.
I do, too. When I was a kid, the bus stop, and the only time I took a bus was when I was very young, in kindergarten, and then on to, like, the kids, when I was a father, our kids did not have, they didn't go to the school, there's no bus, they were driven by, and I used to make jokes about it, they were, you know, it was a long line of SUVs every morning, just a big long line of these big SUVs dropping off these little kids. I used to say, you might as well be pulling up in a tank. I mean, nothing states more clearly the attitude of the modern day parent than these long lines of SUVs that were dropping kids off in the early part of this of the last decade. It looked like these big, huge vehicles, and then a little tiny kid would just boop, get out and, you know.
What do you think that they were too? The big cars were too big.
Well, I don't know. It was like a. No bike riding, not a lot of kids on the bus, although I'm sure there were, you know, in maybe the public school system. I don't know. This was a Catholic school.
Yeah, that's out of Catholics. They're rich.
No, they're not rich.
Well, I mean, it's a private school.
Phil, it's private.
I don't care if it's private. They're not rich. Let me tell you something about these Catholic schools. First of all, you're expected, if you're the principal of a Catholic school and you're the Monsignor of the parish, you're expected to have so many kids going to school there that are low income, that can't afford to be there. The diocese will help out, but you're expected as a parish to be self-sustaining and to have kids in your school that, you know, and I'm just making a claim, I'm making a statement. I happen to know it's true because I went through the Catholic school system as a student and as a parent. And I know that there's a lot of kids that go to Catholic schools. Families could never afford the tuition. That's just the way it is. Does it make them fantastic people? I'm just telling you that's been the history. Okay.
Well, I mean, but there's also, didn't you tell me that you used to go to functions for the Catholic school where there was champagne and, you know.
No, I don't know. And don't start inferring anything.
I'm not.
There were a lot of parents that had money. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. And there were parents there. I remember one of the parents at our school was, I don't think I'm talking out of school. It was Mike Socia.
Talking out of school. About to be the right school.
Yeah, shut up, man.
You shut up.
Hey. Mike Socia, the manager of the Angels, was one of the parents at our school. And he was a hell of a guy because he would host a lot of things. He was always active in the school. He was always active with the teams. He was active, with the auctions, all that stuff, you know. So there was always something going on to raise money, you know.
And you're telling me the Catholic Church, with all of the money that they have, still expected these parishes like some pueblo, like one of those. Do you remember the Lilies of the Field? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
In it, the black man, played by,
I remember this.
Did you hold on? I'm not talking to you.
No, I remember what it was, though, is Django Unchained.
Not Django Unchained, Lilies of the Field.
What's that?
It was an old movie. Never mind, what about it?
Well, in the movie, who was the black man?
Sidney Poitier.
Yes, Sidney Poitier. I forget.
I'll tell everybody since you started the story.
I forgot.
He was a handyman that went into this very poor area of New Mexico, I think it was. And these nuns are trying to build a church, and he doesn't want any part of it. All he wants is to get himself maybe something to eat, and he wants directions. You know, he's on his way someplace, and these nuns basically just impose themselves on him and say, no, you have to stay. You have to build this church. You have to help us. You have to. And the guy is such a nice man that he can't help himself. He winds up staying and organizing all the townspeople.
Were they all Mexicans?
How dare you? Watch.
Bud, they were Mexican people living, Spanish people living in New Mexico, Americans of Mexican descent.
Well, any of that was illegal.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because if there was any illegal, well.
What's the point?
They had them working on a church.
Are you guys serious? This is a movie from the 60s. Nobody was counting, okay?
Well.
In any event, these people are building this church, and it's about Sidney Poitier. And the funniest part of the movie is how he's trying to make sense with these nuns that all speak German. He doesn't speak any German. And he's black. They're white. And the whole thing is.
Yeah, and they're Germans, too.
Yeah, what about it? Oh, you think they're Nazis?
Well.
No, man, just because they're German don't mean they're Nazis.
This is Bud. Every German's a Nazi, is that it?
Bud, what did you think they were going to do?
Well, you don't know if they're Germans.
Yeah, that's right, Bud. They're the first German Nazi nuns. And they're, here comes a black guy. Better put him in the oven.
Well?
They can't even build a church. They got an oven on site? Yeah. You got to be kidding me.
I don't think it's funny.
Oh, give me a break. They can't get a church built, but they now see a member of an inferior race. Get that oven cranked up, Sister Gertrude.
No, oh, you're saying you gotta just consider the possibilities.
Yeah, the possibilities, man. The possibilities. not the outer space stuff, okay? So, sad news from the world of college football. Catherine Webb had to withdraw from the ABC reality diving show Splash. We'll give you a moment to compose yourselves, writes Frank Schwab. I know it's Schwab, but I thought I'd just butcher his name up, just because I'm that kind of a guy. Writes Frank Schwab for Yahoo Sports. Webb, the beauty pageant queen and Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron's girlfriend. You remember seeing her at that, what was the game?
It was the Peach Bowl, wasn't it?
No, it was what bowl was it, Robert?
Peach Bowl. It was a fruit.
Well, of course it's a fruit. It was a raspberry bowl or something.
No, man, no. It was the.
I thought it was the
banana. They know banana bowl. Why not?
Well, you don't put bananas in a bowl.
Well, no, wait a minute, okay? Nobody's making that kind of ridiculous distinction. You don't put bananas in a bowl. How about this? The Poulon Weed Eater Bowl. Do you put a gardening utensil in a bowl?
What?
What are you talking about?
Did she just say you don't put bananas in a bowl? Didn't I hear you say that?
Phil, how about using my name and not she and pointing at me like I'm something that just dropped out of a cat's...
Did Margaret just say banana bowl?
I don't know.
Yes, you just acknowledged that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that got to do with gardening?
Never mind.
Oh, he's going to...
No, just never mind. So anyway, A.J. McCarron's girlfriend had been on the show with various celebrities, but she said during Tuesday's episode that a practice dive had left her with a back injury, and she just decided, screw this, let Louis Anderson take over. Now, Louis Anderson, as you know, is a prominent comic. Louis is also, very heavy. I can show you his picture here on Phil TV if you happen to be around here. Or you can just imagine...
Well, Phil, I think it should be said.
No, I don't want you to say it, Margaret, because I thought it was very insensitive.
She said he... Well,
I think it's insensitive.
I said I will not be censored. Louis Anderson looks like he is a...
Yeah, you know how cruel that sounds.
She's at a human lard container.
See, he did it.
Why did you say that?
That's in the interest of fear of I gotta be reporting.
Yeah, in the interest of reporting.
In the interest of reporting, Louis Anderson looks like a human lard container. That's great.
Oh, stop it, will you, Phil? It's Louis Anderson's fault.
Well, Louis is pretty big, man, but he is now next up on this dive challenge, and...
And you'll watch. You know you will, because when he hits the water, it's going to be worse than any fertilizer explosion.
You know something? They're interviewing a man right now that's got blood on his face, so let's not make any jokes.
I'm not.
But when Louis hits the water, it...
Well, yeah, I mean,
Okay. In any event... Louis Anderson is next up. Webb was getting frustrated and crying as she struggled with her practice dive. She said she landed hard during one practice dive, and that's what caused the back injury.
Now, they know that Louis Anderson was not around it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Louis Anderson was not around it.
If he was taking any of his practice dives or jumps.
On top of her? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I don't know.
Webb is free to move forward with whatever project she's lined up. She usually has something in mind. Webb took time to thank her almost 267,000 Twitter followers for supporting her in her diving against folks like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the actress who was on Charles in Charge back in the day. Oh, that's really nice of you. Why don't you give the woman's name? God.
The actress that was on Charles in Charge.
Who was that actress?
I don't know.
Thank you guys for the support. And off she went while Louis practiced his belly flops. All right.
That guy's belly flop or anything else.
I don't think it's funny. I think Louis, they're using you. And Louis, I know Louis from way back. Frank and I both. Louis, may I?
Go ahead.
Louis, if you're listening, this is Margaret Gray.
Margaret, you're not talking a guy out of a house and trying to get him back to prison, okay? You just talk normally.
I'm talking to my friend Louis.
Yeah, you're not on a bullhorn going, hey, you in the house.
How'd you like me to...
Hey, watch it.
Kick your ass.
Let's take a break, okay?
Yes, of course.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Louis, this is Margaret. Bitch, I'll be right Hendry back, show. Louis. Louis, I'll be back. Don't do it.
to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to World Famous Phil Hendry Show. If you go to the homepage, philhendryshow.com, I was attempting to show this on our Phil TV monitor here, and I will. I've just had to move over a bit to access the computer. If you go to our homepage, you're going to see a picture of me there, and let me just go ahead and flip it over.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Is that you, Phil?
Yes, that's me. Come on. You don't know that that's me? Why is this? Why does it take so long? I'm really very pissed off at this. Why does it take so long to refresh this page?
Well, I said it looks that way to you.
No, bullcrap looks that way to me. I updated this photograph I don't know how many minutes ago, and it's still the old this cache system that they've got for this website. I'm not happy with. I don't give a damn who knows it. Okay, I mean it's just you don't. One of the things you don't ever want to do. Don't ever do this. Don't go to work as a subcontractor, as an employee, I wouldn't say an employee so much as a subcontractor or anybody that does any kind of work for a radio personality who has a big fat mouth, because your stuff is going to be out on the radio the next day, man. It doesn't matter who. If you say, oh, wow, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to be working for Phil Hendry, I got a big fat mouth, man. Every time. I can remember when I went to war against Sears. I went to war against Sears all the way to Chicago, all the way on up the chain of command. I got to the office of the president. I was so pissed off.
Well, what happened?
We bought a washer dryer on two washer dryers. The hoses blew out on these. The water pressure just blew the hoses out on these. And that's not so bad. Were it not for the fact that when it blew the hoses out, we had carpeting that got soaked, man, twice. Had to bring in those guys from Service Pro out in the valley. Great guys, really great guys, as a matter of fact. And they're not, you know, they're not sponsors, but they came out, these guys, Service Pro, and they dried out the carpeting. And guess what? One of the guys, after the second trip out, quit.
Oh, my God. He quit. Why?
Because he said, that's it. I'm quitting. I'm out of this business. He couldn't believe that he had to go out two, three times to dry out the carpeting. These folks, that the hose on their, you know, on the washing machine. So I got so upset. And I remember that Maria and the kids were on vacation, and they were in Florida. And so I was dealing with this. And I was fine. That was fine with me to deal with it. And I not only was I dealing with it, but I was on the air every day giving people updates on just how crap can these washing machines were. Now, I got to tell you something. That's the one and only time I've ever had a problem with a Sears washing machine.
Yeah, say this, man. They become a sponsor. Otherwise, you just give them away.
Well, yeah, but maybe they'll become a sponsor if they hear him say good stuff.
No, they won't. But I'm still happy to say it, okay?
If you're happy with the product, I think that's good. But, I think there should be a little, as Frank has called it from time to time, recompense. Okay?
Yeah, okay, Margaret. Look, you know, not everything is a handshake and a wink, okay? I mean, if they want to, never mind. I'm just saying it. Because I've had a Sears washer and dryer now for I don't know how long. It's a damn good washer and dryer.
This is Phil Hendry for Sears.
No, I'm not getting, don't make it sound like I'm getting paid, because I'm not. I'm not getting paid. I'm just telling you, I got a washer and dryer from Sears. The other day I was looking at this, and I was thinking, how long have I had this? And I realized I've had it for over 10 years. And both the washer and the dryer that were in another house, and I brought them to this house. And I'm looking up going, man, I've had these for a long damn time. And I've had the dryer repaired one time, just one time. And
well, okay, see, right there shows you how crappy it is.
What are you talking about? One time, man? And the washer I haven't had to have repaired at all. So I'm just telling you. I was very happy. I'm happy to report that now, just as, okay, now the picture's finally updated some 3 minutes after it, but take a look at this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Margaret, it's not that bad.
It's not. Look at that.
No, Mr. Henry, that's bad. That's bad.
What, are you crying?
I can't believe. Were you okay?
What, are you guys bawling? Yeah, I was okay. I was fat.
Man, I can't believe it.
Oh, knock it off, man. I don't look as bad as Louis Anderson.
I wouldn't be so sure, Phil.
I do not. Oh, you're out of your mind. I don't look as bad as but that is a bad picture. There's no question. Look at that. Look at how fat my head is. Look at how stupid that hair. Why didn't I just get that haircut?
Probably good you had a long hair. If you were bald with that fat head, You'd be bad.
You look almost... Greg Fitzsimmons, is he a normal-sized man and you're, like, gigantic?
What does that mean?
Well, I'm Greg Fitzsimmons. Everything about his head's teeny or everything.
Yeah, it looks like one of those pictures you see from the Barnum and Bailey, where the big freak man and then the normal man.
What are you talking about? I'm a normal-sized 6-foot man.
Yeah, well, and
Greg Fitzsimmons.
Is he normal size?
Yes, he's normal size. He's a normal size guy. I'm fat. I'll tell you this much. That head, that fat head on me, man, that is not how big my head is when is there a lot of fat that, I guess my head's fat.
Yes. Hey, you finally get it.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show with more. Take a look at go to our webpage.
Yeah, you dog, your weight goes to your fat face.
Our webpage, philhenryshow.com. Back with our next hour in a moment.
Oh, my God, look at that.
Oh, will you take it easy?
That looks pretty fat, man.
All the fat went to your face.
Phil Henry.